Dear friends in Jesus Christ, good to see you tonight. Tomorrow is our National Day of Thanksgiving. What's the idea of that day? At least when it was put in place a long time ago, the idea is that we would remember God's past and present blessings and that we would give him thanks. That's the idea of a National Day of Thanksgiving. Let me share with you the beginning of George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation that he made way back on October 3rd, 1789. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for his benefits, I recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. When I think about that, that must have been a time when we were a very grateful nation. It looked impossible that we could ever win the Revolutionary War, and yet with the great blessing of God, we came out on the side of victory and God established a new nation, the United States of America. Much to be thankful for at that time. And yet, I'm afraid today that we're not quite such a thankful nation. We have so much teaching that the Bible is no longer true, and even that there is no God, that we are in fact our own gods. So we live in quite a mixed up world, but I'm so glad that each of you are here tonight to remember our great God, to know that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, that he loves us with an everlasting love, that he has sent his son to save us, and that he wants to bless us forever and ever. He's calling all people in the world to repent and to believe before it is too late. Tonight, I want to turn our attention to the hymn that we just sang, Give Thanks to God with a Grateful Heart. So it's a very short hymn, but I want to talk about it a little bit. I want to take a look at the biblical basis for each part of the hymn. So in the first part here, give thanks. What did we sing? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. What is the basis in the Bible for those words? That takes us to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The Bible says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That is who Jesus is, this indescribable gift. We are so undeserving, it's difficult to even describe the greatness of who Jesus is as a gift to us. Think about it like this. A naked man needs what? Clothes. A naked man needs clothes. A hungry man needs food. Okay, we can get that easy enough. A naked man, a hungry man. Well, a fallen man needs the Savior. Okay, a fallen man needs the Savior, but not all are naked, thank God. Not all are hungry, but let's understand, all are fallen. There is nobody in the world that is not fallen. So we come to great news in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, God knew about our fallenness. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What great news, what reasons to give hearty thanks to God. And then in the second part, how can the weak say, I am strong? That doesn't make sense, does it? How can the weak say, I am strong? What did we sing? And now let the weak say, I am strong because of what the Lord has done for us. So we have to go a little bit further now to figure this out here. The Bible basis is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. When Paul was suffering with a thorn in the flesh, remember that story about him having a thorn in the flesh? We don't know exactly what that was, but but it was something difficult for Paul. So when he was suffering in that way, Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Maybe yet we don't quite get what that means, but then Paul commented, "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Do you get it? Does it make sense? It can seem a little bit confusing on the surface, but let me just go a little bit further. When we think we are strong, if we have a task to do and we're thinking, "Hey, I can do that. I have the strength. I have the know-how. I can do that task." If I say that, who am I trusting in? I'm trusting in me. If I think I can do it, if I think I have the smarts, I have the strength, I'm trusting in me. But it's better, though, when we know that we are weak, because when we know we are weak, we're thinking, "I can't do it." When we know we are weak, then we are trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a place to trust, because when we trust in him, then we have his wisdom, then we have his strength in order to do what needs to be done. It's really not us doing it, but it's him working through us in order to accomplish it. Think about the famous passage there in Philippians 4:13. What did Paul say? He said, "I can do all things through him," that is, through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul was not trusting in himself, he was trusting in his Lord Jesus Christ. So does it make sense now? So whenever Paul recognized his weakness, that was actually a good thing, because then he did not trust in himself, but he trusted in his Lord Jesus Christ. So then he was truly strong. May God help all of us to be that way. No matter what it is, may God help us to know we can't do it. We are in need of the Almighty God. We are in need of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us trust God our Father. Let us trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us be thankful for the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and trusting in the triune God. Let us know that God can work through us in order to accomplish all things. And then finally, in the last part here, how can the poor say, "I am rich"? Again, it's kind of contradictory, isn't it? How can the poor say, "I am rich"? Well, we sung in the hymn, "Let the poor say, I am rich," because of what the Lord has done for us. So what has he done for us? For the basis for this verse, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." So what's that talking about? Let's think this through. The Son of God loved us so much that he came down from heaven. In other words, he's not yet carrying the name Jesus. So the Son of God, he leaves the glory of heaven. He puts on human flesh. He takes the name Jesus that is above every name, and he lives a sinless life as our perfect substitute. God requires of us what is impossible for all of us. We need someone to come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and that is what the Son of God did. So he leaves the glory of heaven and he comes down to do what he did for you, for me, for all. And then think about Jesus. Think about the final 24 hours of his life. What happened? He permitted himself to be arrested, to be tried, to be condemned, to be beaten, to be crucified. He permitted all that to happen to him. And then when his saving work was finished, what did he do? He laid down his life. No one took it from him, but when his work was done, he laid down his life. So think about it. Jesus became a condemned and crucified criminal here on earth so that we could forever enjoy the riches of heaven. So think about it. He was rich. He comes down and he's totally poor in order that us who are poor, miserable sinners could be raised to the richness of heaven and be with God forever. Isn't that so extraordinary what he has done for us? Finally, we conclude the hymn with saying, "Give thanks," twice. What are we thinking about? How should we respond to the hymn? Moment by moment, day by day, let us keep expressing thanks to our great God, and let us keep living lives of thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving, I'm glad we have a national holiday called Thanksgiving. I hope our nation would see the blessings and truly give thanks to God. But let's be different. Every day, God is showering countless blessings upon us. Let us live with much thanksgiving. Let us pray. Dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have taken away our sins. You make us strong, and you have promised us eternal riches. So let us and all believers keep giving you thanks. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.